This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. I hope you're having a great day. Coming up at 4 o'clock, we're going to be joined by TCU play-by-play voice Brian Estridge and talk about everything going on now that they're 3 in the college football playoff. We have another special guest joining us right now, one of our favorites. Here we go.
Touches, sets, fire, scores! Curry with a three. Doncic doubled. Hardaway three. That will go down.
And Curry wants to go at Doncic. That's the matchup they want.
The bump and the fadeaway. Doncic 41 points.
Great call last night. Kevin Harlan, voice of the NBA on TNT and the NFL and college basketball on CBS. And Kevin, it's always great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Oh, thanks for the invite. Good to hear you guys. And being in Dallas last night, that was a great crowd. And I every time I come away watching Doncic with my own eyes, I just shake my head and can't believe I'm seeing someone so good. So he young is, and so yeah. good, man. He is something else.
It is special, and we try to appreciate it as much as we can. When you get a guy like this, you never know when you're going to have another one like that. What do you think about the team overall? We had you on during the playoffs and their great run, and it looked like the era was pointing up. But what do you think of them right now?
Well, they're ahead of schedule last year for sure. I don't think anybody saw that coming, but sure enough, they turned the corner and they got in late and they made their way through. And that was a terrific experience for that team to go through that. And at one time last year, they were 16 and 18. And now they're back to 500. So I say, let's just let these couple months kind of get coaches familiar with what they've got. Even though it says the same name in the back of the uniform, these are different teams, players age a year. They have different things that happen in the off season. They grow in ways that you know, now they've got to change this or work on that. It's a process. And in the NBA, with so many games and injuries and getting used to the everyday of it, it takes a while, I think, for a coach to figure out what they've got. Now, we're about 20 games in, give or take, around the league. And this is about the time the coaches have a pretty good handle on what they can do, the kind of rotations they can use, and how they can go to their bench, and how long they got to play their starters, and who needs a break, and who they got to, you know, kind of get on, and who's got to push the gas, and everything else. And I guess I would just say, you know, listen, the defending champion is not doing all that hot. They're about 500 too. So let's get past the first of the year, and when these teams, and now that Dallas has breathed that rarefied playoff air of conference finals, let's give them a chance to see maybe a light at the end of the tunnel. They know what's coming around the bend. There's probably a little pacing of themselves right now. They got veterans on that team that have played. You know, Dinwiddie's played a while, and Bullock has played, and Hardaway. These guys have played a lot of seasons in the league. They know it's ahead of them. And I think I wouldn't say they're not exerting. I wouldn't say they're not pushing it to the limit. I just think that they know it's a long season. And right now they want to be right in every facet of them individually as Kidd works on getting the rotation. You know, without Brunson, that left a big hole. And it's just going to take some time to kind of get this thing plastered up, but it will, and they'll be there like we all expect them to be.
Kevin, you made note of this during the broadcast last night, but my goodness, have you guys ever seen more travel calls in your life during a basketball game? And as Mavs fans, thank goodness they called that last one on Steph Curry.
Well, yeah, right. Wasn't that something? And that was a travel. That was clearly a violation. I just think that the officials get points of emphasis at various times of a year, especially to begin the season. And one of the points, again, this year is the traveling. I think they're because if you don't get a handle on it, these players are so gifted that they're going to push the limits and come up with things, whether it's the Euro step or the Harden fake and the lean and all these different things that are going on. Here in the last couple games, I've noticed, you know, I thought we were getting away from leaning into or having, you know, kind of that moment where the guy falls into you and like seducing him to collapse into your shot as you come down. But now they're kind of allowing some of that, and they're calling the defender more than they did, I think, at times last year. So it goes in waves, and it kind of goes in different phases, and we may be in that phase right now where they know that these players, as geniuses as they are, figuring out new ways to move and be deceptive and come up with fakes that no one has seen, and they do it. They're smart. They've got to begin at the very roots of it, and that means the proper number of dribbles and steps and plants and pivots and everything else, and that traveling violation has got to be enforced, and they're not backing away. They're going to stay on it. We saw a lot last night, and I think we're going to continue to.
What's been the NBA storyline that's intrigued you the most? There's been so many with the Lakers, with what they're doing. A lot of people counting out the Suns in the West. They've been dominant. Boston being outstanding. So many great storylines just to start this season.
I guess New Orleans has got probably as good an offensive team as we've seen, and they're in the division. And I think that Morant has added to his game in Memphis. And we thought that the big experiment in Minnesota would be one that would be transformative, like it was when Sampson and the great players of the past, the Twin Towers, got together. And even when there was a Robinson and Duncan unison in San Antonio. And so the Minnesota thing has been very slow to get off the ground. And now Carl Anthony Towns is out about a month and a half with an injury. So we don't know where that's going to go. I shouldn't be surprised, but this Laker thing, I just can't get out of my head how they thought that with the lack of shooting, that thing was going to work with those two Hall of Famers and their history of injuries and the age on both of them. I just didn't know where they thought that was going to go, and they're still trying to work through it clearly. And we're just, we're just 20 games into the season. So we've got a long way to go, or a quarter of the way in, but the early numbers there obviously are not very good. Portland's better than I thought they'd be. I was stunned that Utah came out of the blocks as fast as they did. Now they've kind of leveled off a little bit. Doncic to me looks better. He looks not only in his skill set. I think that the games this past summer helped him again, as they always do with the young player. But this time he came in better shape. In fact, I mentioned it last night on the air. His body looks different last night than it did November 30th of last year or November 29th of last year. He looks better. And you know, every year these guys are in the league, they find new ways for eating, nutrition, sleeping, working, all this stuff. And he's 23. So it's an accumulation of all these experiences and people that, you know, and maturity and everything else that kind of comes into the fold. And with him, he looks as confident. The one thing I think he is backing off on a little bit, although a couple times he was irritated, getting on these officials. That is not serving a purpose. They're ticked off. They don't want to see it. They get tired of it. I think sometimes that inadvertently they take it out on the Mavericks, and that he has got to stop this yelping at these officials. They do not want to hear it, even though he's as good a player as this game has right now, one of the top three or four players in the game. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to see it. But he does look like he is trending the other way, and that is a good sign. I think Jason has worked with him on that a lot too.
Kevin, one of the great things about having you on is that you can also talk NFL with the best of them. And I know that you've done some games with some of these NFC East opponents for the Cowboys. How would you handicap what you've seen from the Commanders, the Eagles, the Giants, and the Cowboys as well? How would you handicap the NFC East right now?
Washington is better than they appear, and they've been playing great. Giants don't seem to me to have the depth to be as good as the record says they are. I think Philadelphia, they're going through some injuries right now, and they've got to work through some of that, but all teams do. So that, you know, that's just part of the world of the NFL. Hurts is better than I ever thought he'd be. I got to be honest. I just did not see this coming. I didn't think he had as much variety to his game as he has shown. His arm is better. His reads are better. He's smart not to get hit. He's got command of the locker room. He can make judgments quickly and change in the blink of an eye at the line of scrimmage or even during a play. I think they've got the right voices in their head with Sirianni and that staff. So I like Philadelphia. And I'm always bullish on the Cowboys. I like them for many reasons. They still may be the team that's going to host an NFC championship. I know that Philadelphia came out of the blocks so strong, but what they did to the Vikings, Mike looks like he's more confident. His body language, I think, is better. Of course, having Dak there makes a big difference. I think the team proved something to themselves when they had to change quarterbacks and Dak was gone for a while. And now that he's back, he's getting his rhythm with the team that we once saw. And I like him. I like him a lot. And I don't think we've seen their best yet. I think their best is yet to come. But I'm bullish on the Cowboys. The division is like the AFC East, isn't it? I mean, like all these teams are strong. Washington, though, to me, is kind of the X factor here. I think they're better than we ever thought they would be this season. And they're getting Young back, and he was supposed to come back last week. Supposedly he's coming back this week. That can only help that defense with those two big studs in the middle, man. Those guys are monsters on that defensive line. But I like Washington. I saw him beat Philadelphia the other night on Monday night. And they can run the ball. They believe in the quarterback. He makes things happen. I think they've made a great decision not to go to Wentz. And I think Washington might be that team that you just got to go that we're going to see is the X factor in that division. And I would not be surprised if all four get in. I really would. Green Bay faltering. I could see four teams in the division going in.
How much do you think the addition of an Odell Beckham Jr. would help our Dallas Cowboys?
You know, I got to be honest. I mean, of course, my mind, I'm thinking of Odell pre-injuries. You get those ACLs, man, those things, they take it out of you. And I'm not sure what happened this past weekend in Miami, but the optics were not good. And I don't know that that's deterred Jerry. I guess I heard him on some show yesterday or something. He said they're moving, you know, full steam ahead, and they've got that prerogative. And I don't think he would hurt him. I think he would bring another dimension, and every time he'd line up out there, you'd have to account for him. But that ACL stuff is serious business, and he did help the Rams last year. I thought he was a nice component, but they also had the best receiver in football and Cup. And so the attention that was on Beckham was not as great as he probably once saw. So it would be a new rule. You know, he was probably, I guess he was number two last year at the Rams, and he got the touchdown in the Super Bowl and was a factor. And I think Stafford was really comfortable with him as another veteran in that core. Sure, you know, if it's not too expensive, doesn't disrupt your locker room, keeps the rhythm you've got going. Mike's a good read on that stuff. Mike has a good handle on those things. I think I'd trust Mike's gut and what he thinks Beckham can do. And Mike will look at him, as you would anybody that's coming in on Tuesdays to work out, he'll look at him incredibly, you know, tough. Because right now, you know, you're sweeping the walkway and you're lighting the candles and you're getting ready for the postseason. And you don't want anybody coming in there and blowing out that candle and screwing up that walkway. And Beckham's a big personality and a big name. and that would be probably my only concern. If you're thinking you're getting Beckham with the Rams or Beckham with the Giants, I don't know that it's going to happen. He had a bad tenure in Cleveland where he was injured. He was injured with the knee in L.A. I just don't know physically what you're getting in about a year after it's happened. And that less than a year than it's happened with the knees. So there's a lot there to look at, certainly.
That's a great wise perspective. Kevin, thank you so much for your time. We love chatting sports with you. You're welcome on these airwaves anytime, buddy.
Thank you. I loved visiting your city last night. It was terrific. And Ed Doncic, I would pay and pay and pay and pay to watch him play. That guy, he is a generational talent. The league has never seen a player like him. With his size, his ability, his grace, he makes the hardest plays, you know, look so easy because it's the confidence in his rhythm, and he's got this elan about him. It's indescribable.
Yeah,
this kid, he is one of a kind, and I'm glad he's in a market like Dallas where they can appreciate him.
It's kind of like if you took Carmelo and LeBron and combined them, and then took away the speed and the leaping ability.
Well, he's got skills that those other guys don't have. I got to be honest.
Okay.
I think he's a better shooter than Carmelo. And Carmelo is one of the top shooters in the history of the game.
Yeah.
But if he stays on this course, his shooting is better than Carmelo. And he's got stuff that some of his passes last night, he's 23. And you know, LeBron was known for his passing when he came in. So when he did that, but this kid, he's the whole package. He's the whole package. I've never seen a player like him. I said it when I saw Jordan. And LeBron is a one of a kind, and Kobe had a lot of those skills, but this kid, I've never seen a kid like this before.
And now he's playing defense.
And now he's attempting to give an effort, and that may be the one thing that will resonate with his teammates more than anything, because if he's attempting to play, if he's putting effort on defense, that sends a signal that no words a coach can say or no offensive game can lead can give that other group of players on that team. They know he's so gifted with his offense, but if his defense and that effort, and it may never be great, but the effort is there, he's locked in, he's communicative, that sends as big a message as he could possibly send to the rest of the team. That is a huge step in the right direction. For what I saw last year at the same time to this year, and I did his Western Conference Finals and I did his playoffs against Phoenix. I've never seen a player like him before. And I'm probably not using strong enough words to describe him.
Well, these are great words.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah,
phenomenal.
Awesome job. I'm glad we kept you around for a few more minutes to expand on Luka there. We'll look forward to next time we can chat with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Happy holidays. Take care.
Salute to you. The great Kevin Harlan here on 105.3 The Fan. Yeah, that Jerry Jones was on some show yesterday, and he was talking about that. The texters loved that. The texters loved that potential dump button situation. And, of course, the sports wisdom and perspective flowing from the golden pipes of Kevin Harlan. We love it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.